It occurred to me earlier in the service as I was pouring water into the baptismal font that that may be a little bit confusing for some of you. A couple of years ago, Shailene and Isaiah and I, we were living in Pennsylvania, and we attended a show put on by Mark Lowry. You familiar with Mark Lowry? He sang with the Gaither vocal team for a number of years, and he wrote the beautiful song, Mary, Did You Know? And he's a very funny, funny man. And he told the story of when he was in high school, he had his first public concert. Well, that's not right. His first time singing in public apart from school. And it was at a Presbyterian church. And he was a good Baptist boy. And he sat there the entire time waiting to sing, staring at that baptismal font, wondering how they squeezed people in there to get baptized. Praise God. Today is the fifth day of Christmas. And on the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden rings. Cut that from the video back there, right? The song, The 12 Days of Christmas, is supposedly a teaching tool from the Middle Ages to teach people the faith of the church. And it didn't always have the melody that it has today, but every single day symbolized something within the faith. So this is the fifth day of Christmas. That symbolizes the 5 books of the Torah or of the law, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Yesterday was the fourth day. There were 4 calling birds. That's the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. On the third day, my true love gave me 3 French hens. And that comes from 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter, faith, hope, and love. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 2 turtle doves, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then finally, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave me a partridge in a pear tree. Well, that symbolizes the Lord Jesus. And a partridge is the only bird that we know of that will actually sacrifice itself to protect its young. This is the last Sunday, not just of 2019, but of this decade. When we gather next Sunday, it will be 2020, and we blink our eyes, and the years go by faster and faster and faster. Our text for this morning is the epistle lectionary for today, taken from Titus chapter 2. And as we approach the text, let us remind ourselves of the context, right? Because it's dangerous just to pluck a text out of the sky and to read it and proclaim it. Essentially, Titus is a letter written by Paul to a young disciple named Titus who was living on the island of Crete. Paul and Titus had planted some house churches on Crete, but Paul had to leave before everything was fully established, and he's writing to Titus to give him direction and encouragement in how to further grow those church communities, those baby Christian communities, and how to choose wise people to be elders and deacons within those communities. Crete was a tough place to live and work and share the gospel of Christ. The people of Crete in the ancient world had a well-known reputation. They were stereotyped for their laziness, for their argumentativeness, and their lying. After all, 2,000 years later, who wants to be called a Cretan? That's where it comes from. This short letter, along with 1 and 2 Timothy, form what we call the pastoral letters of Paul, the last documents that Paul wrote before he was executed in Rome just a few years later. So in a little bit, let us come to the text. It is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. I am reading from the New International Version. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah, this text certainly is Christmassy enough for us. It talks about the appearing or the epiphany of God's Son into the world. It's all about what the Apostle Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 11 as God's indescribable gift. A beautiful, indescribable gift given to the world, a gift which brings salvation to all peoples. Yet in a real way, this is the Christmas story for the day after Christmas, the week after Christmas, and basically all of the time in between our Christmas celebrations. This is a text that reminds us of the nature of the indescribable gift as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It calls us to lead a different kind of life because we have encountered, because we know that the Savior of the world, God's very Son, the Lord Jesus, has come to save the cosmos. The text is great for today because as many people prepare to make their New Year's resolutions, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to sleep better, I'm not going to eat chocolate or gossip, I'm going to finally hit that two iron straight, I'm going to make my bed every day. Young people, that should be one of your resolutions for the new year. You're going to make your bed every single day. This scripture focuses on the need for a different kind of resolution. It speaks of good spiritual hygiene, and in particular, the spiritual virtue of self-control. The Greek word Paul uses throughout Titus for self-control is sophronio, and it's a curious little word, and it literally means to be moderate, to be sober-minded, to be sensible, to be sane. The opposite of self-control, then, is to be out of your mind, insensible, lustful, or insane. Doing whatever feels good whenever it feels good is a crazy way to live because it means you are cut off from sensible, normal, creational limits which the Lord God has put into place to protect us and to enable us to flourish as a people. To be out of our right mind usually means we are endangering ourselves and may take a few other people with us on our way down before it's over. One need only witness or experience binge drinking on college campuses, casual sexual encounters that lead to broken relationships and unplanned pregnancies, gambling addictions which destroy families, and even addictions to online communities. For those of you who live on your phones and your tablets and your computers, which are detrimental to real life face-to-face relationships. I remember being a student at Central Elementary School in the early 1980s, just a few blocks away from here up on the hill, when Nancy Reagan, President Reagan's wife, came out with her Just Say No to Drugs program. Do y'all remember that? Just Say No. Many people thought her methods were a bit naive. But as I look back on those days, I think that she was onto something. Christ followers, right? Those who love Jesus, those who have accepted him as Lord and Savior, those who bow to him as Master and King, those desire to know everything they can from him, have received a gift from God to help us live in a righteous way. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit within the mainline world is the lost and forgotten member of God, of the Trinity. But make no mistake about it, The Holy Spirit is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Along with the Father, they are co-equal and they are co-eternal. And this means that God's own very power dwells within us and both motivates us and equips us to just say no to bad things so that we can be level-headed. We can be self-controlled and in our right minds on things that matter to us and to those around us as we await the great hope of the faith. And what is the great hope? I imagine if I were to poll every Christian in Hannibal, Missouri, I bet you 75 to 85% of the people would say the great hope of the faith is that when we die, our spirits go to heaven to be with the Lord. But that is not the great hope of the faith. In fact, Scripture speaks very little about that. But what Scripture does speak of in depth is that at some point in the future, let it be today, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. He is coming physically back to earth to make all things new. The entire cosmos will be remade and recreated. And there will be a resurrection, a physical resurrection of the dead. And those who are in Christ Jesus will spend an eternity in the very presence of God, not spiritually, ethereally, but corporally, physically, bodily, in the new heavens and the new earth. There are clearly ways for us to live as followers of Christ until the day that Jesus returns. We are to live in a world in a manner that glorifies Him. To live as a particular community set apart by the good news of Jesus. But we are not to be happy simply being set apart from the world loving Jesus. We should live our lives in a manner that people around us see something different. Something beautiful. There's an old line about evangelism. It's a three-part line, and I think it is dead on. Make a friend. Be a friend. Bring a friend to Christ. We are to live as a distinct community in worship and study and fellowship. We have to know what God's Word says so that we can share it with people when they ask us. And God will bring people to us. God entrusts the gospel, the good news of Christ, to us. We have to believe that Jesus' work on the cross truly does something to and for us. And as a response to His work, we live for Him, not to earn His love, but to say thank you, and as a desire to please Him. 2020 is an election year. Social media is a massive presence within our lives. Civil dialogue is something that all of us need to bear in mind. I want to share a secret with you about me. Nobody has ever changed my mind politically because of a Facebook post. Folks, you need to be careful what you say. You need to be careful what you post. You need to be respectful of all people. You are to live self-controlled and sober lives. We all are. While I've never been influenced by a political post, by Christian people on both sides of the aisle on Facebook, I have lost respect for a massive number of Christian people who post things on Facebook. Live as a distinct person. Let your faith shape your politics. Do not look like the rest of the world. Live for Christ Jesus. Be countercultural. Be distinct. People will see something different about you, and they will want to know what that is. As the world argues and embraces darkness, may we live in light. And may renewal. Now, Baptist brothers and sisters, that's a mainline word for revival. We're afraid of that word, revival. But we like the word renewal. As we enter a new year and as we enter a new decade, may the spirit of renewal and revival blaze from our hearts, influence our lives, change the way we live and speak to one another. May we truly be agents of light in a world that is very dark. People will come to the light. God will bring them. And we must be ready. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the unity of the Holy Spirit in the Father be with you now and forever. Amen.